Good morning. Today's daf in Megillas Ches. We're starting with the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis. They say, Mishnah, there are a lot of Mishnayos. Well, actually, on this one, there's only two. But we're going to be encountering over the course of today a lot of Mishnayos. Welcome here to the second half of the first parak of Megillah, where we no longer discuss Megillah. Now, that's true and not true. On one hand, as far as Mishnayos are concerned, it's true. Meaning the last Mishnah that we did talked about the differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So, and there ain't bane, there are no differences except, and so what we did is we compared two things that are similar to one another, but we isolated the one difference that exists between the two of them. Okay, so what is the one difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni? So, Mikra Megillah. So that's our Mishnah. Okay, and we spent some time talking about the other ramifications of the of what we're not making a distinction between Adar Aleph and Adar Sheni. Good, that was already the Mishnah that we saw. So it gives now the Mishnayos a fantastic opportunity to do this with a number of other areas of halacha. So if you have a shortest attention span, so today's daf is perfect. Perfect. Because what we're going to be doing now is that with the Mishnayos, we're going to be jumping around from topic to topic, and we're going to apply the same formula in which the only differences that exist between this and this, meaning two things that are really similar to one another, but there is a difference between them. And so these are the Mishnayos of Ein Bein. I believe that there are a total of 13 of them, including the one regarding Adar Aleph and Adar Beis, and so there is going to be a lot of distinctions that are being made. So that is going to be the end of this parak in terms of Mishnayos. But then, what we're going to be treated to with the second half of this first parak is Agadata. Also coming up here is going to be the Gemara's nearly pasuk by pasuk breakdown of Megillas Esther, and we're going to be darshaning every pasuk. Now, that's not totally true. There are a total of 10 prakim. Eventually, what's going to happen in the Gemara is that we're going to, as we get somewhere to the midpoint of the Megillah, so then it's going to kind of fall apart. But basically, what the Gemara is going to do is that the Gemara is going to be true. It's going to be like a Medrash. And that's coming up in just a couple days from now. And so that'll be unbelievably enjoyable as we get to go through the Megillah and we get to go through Drashas Chazal. Well, basically, for a little bit here in the Masechta, we're going to be learning Medrash. So it's super enjoyable. So that's coming up as well. But as far as halachas of the Megillah are concerned, so right now, for our purposes, we are done here until we get back to the second parak, where we're going to be resuming a discussion about the halachas of Kriyas and Megillah. So far, so good. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Beis with the first wide line. So, Ein Ben Yantav L'Shabbos Halacha Nefesh Bavad. So, Yantav and Shabbos are really similar to one another. The only notable difference between the two of them is Ochel Nefesh, which at the superficial level means that on Yantav you are allowed to cook. On Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. We discussed this at length in Masech de Beitza. Notably, the daf to focus on in Beitza is Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara over there discusses the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In other words, there's a heter of Ochel Nefesh, there's also an extension of Mitoch. So that was a big discussion that we had back in Beitza on Daf Yud Beis. Meanwhile, our Gemara over here, just again, the Mishnah over here is just highlighting that really is the only difference that exists between Shabbos and Yantav. So, Halinya Machshir Ochel Nefesh Zevezeh Shavin. So now, if we're highlighting what the difference is, so obviously we're going to do this time and again throughout our morning and throughout the next couple of days. So we know how they're different. So what we're also seeing is how they're the same. So in terms of Machshir Ochel Nefesh, they're going to be the same. So Masis Naloka Rabbi Yehuda, which means that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that there is no heter of Machshir Ochel Nefesh as it relates to Yantiv. Rabbi Yehuda says there is a heter of Machshir Ochel Nefesh, which now, of course, means that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. What's Machshir Ochel Nefesh? So again, we discussed this already a number of times. We get to discuss it again. D'tanya will enter the Braisa in Ben Yom Tov L'Shabbos Al Ochel Nefesh. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Tanakhama of the Braisa is our Mishnah, that the only difference between Shabbos and Yantav is only going to be Ochel Nefesh, meaning that on Yantav you're allowed to cook food, meaning but you're only allowed to do malachas that result in the direct preparation of food. Rabbi Yehuda Matyaf Machshir Ochel Nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that what you're allowed to do is Machshire Ochel Nefesh, meaning not only are you allowed to prepare food on Yantav, but if there's any kind of preparatory stage that you need to do in order to get the food ready, so you're allowed to do that as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So if you don't have a knife on Yantav, good. So you make a knife. Making a knife is fashioning a kli on Yantav. It's a malacha. Yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda allows it because Rabbi Yehuda not only allows for Ochel Nefesh, he allows for Machshirin as well. Okay, so our Mishnah is not subscribing to the Shita of Yehuda. My time at the Tanakhama, the Gemara just now goes over the back and forth in terms of how everybody's going to be darshaning. So according to the Tanakhama, Amakra, hu v'lo machshirav. So the pasuk says, ach asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yes, alachem. We're focusing on the word who. Who is a miut? It's a limitation. Hu v'lo machshirin. So Rav Yehuda. Now, what's Rav Yehuda going to do? Meaning, he also needs a drasha. So yeah, same pasuk. So ach asher yechol l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. So according to Rav Yehuda, focus and emphasize on the word lachem. Lachem l'chol tzarchechem. Now v'idach nami aksiv lachem. So now good. So we now point to which part of the pasuk each of the Tanaim are focusing on, but they can't ignore the other drasha. So the Gemara says, yeah. V'idach nami aksiv lachem. So according to the Tanakhama, what do they do with lachem? Lachem v'lo lov de kochavim. Lachem v'lo leklavim. Yeah, so on Yontif, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to cook for a Jew, but you're not allowed to cook for a Goy Yontif. Similarly, you're not allowed to cook for for animals on Yontif. Meaning the heter of Ochel Nefesh is only for an achila of a Yisrael. Comes out a little bit strange, by the way. In other words, if you're following and contrasting Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, for Rav Yehuda, lachem is a ribui, it's an inclusionary term. And meanwhile, according to the Tanakhama, lachem serves as an exclusion. So they're really, meaning aside from disagreeing with each other, they're really going in opposite directions in terms of what to do with the word lachem. Good. V'idach nami haksiv hu. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, what do you do with the word hu? That's a limitation. So Rav Yehuda says, yeah, I know. So ksiv hu v'ksiv lachem. Kam b'machshirin she'efshar la'asos me'erev yamtov. Kam b'machshirin she'i efshar la'asos me'erev yamtov. Yeah, so even in the world of machshirin, so Rav Yehuda says, I'm going to have a limitation. Notably, a machshir is allowed to be done on yantav, but only machshirin where it was e efshar, I couldn't have done it before yantav. Had I had the opportunity to do it before yantav, and for whatever reason, I just simply didn't do it. So even Rav Yehuda, who has a heter of machshir ochel nefesh, would not allow something that could have been done before yantav. And that's the balance between hu and lachem, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda. We continue. Next Mishnah. Ein bein Shabbos Yom Kippur Melashe says donuk bide adam v'zez donuk b'kareis. So the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so there's really little difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos and Yom Kippur are principally the same. There is an Isser Malacha on Shabbos, there's an Isser Malacha on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, unlike Yantiv, you have a Heter Vochel Nefesh, so Yom Kippur does not have a Heter Vochel Nefesh, aside from the fact that we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but still, on top of that, Yom Kippur, in terms of its chomer, in terms of its severity, is just like Shabbos. So what's the difference between the two of them? So the Mishnah says that zez dona bide adam, v'zez dona bikaris. So if a person is amazed by Shabbos, so what's the onesh? The onesh is mises bide adam, capital punishment. Skila. If a person's amazed by Yom Kippur, so it's not capital punishment, it's karis. But so the onish is the only difference between them, but in terms of the actual isser itself, the isser of the two of them are equivalent. So the Gemara, again, it's going to be the same style again and again, meaning by highlighting what the difference is, so we also see now where their similarity lies. So that's exactly where the Gemara starts off. So halei in tashlumim zevezeh shavin. So that means as far as tashlumim, they're going to be the same. Tashlumim, what are we talking about? The Gemara clarifies. So, mani masisim Rav Nechunya ben Akana yid etayim Rav Nechunya ben Akana hayosis Yom Kippurim ke Shabbos l'tashlumim. Ma Shabbos mechuy ben afsho patam ben atashlumim. Av Yom Kippurim is chayv ben afsho patam ben atashlumim. So, we're talking about the halach of kim lei b'derabim minei. So, we're all familiar. The Gemara in Ksuvos, in the third perek, and happens to be in the high school I'm doing Sanhedrin in the eighth perek. So, a lot of discussion over there of kim lei. So, kim lei basically is that if I do something that incurs two penalties, one's a more severe and one of the other one's less severe. So the more severe is going to overshadow the less severe. This is the halach of kimlei. So if a person is chayv misa and at the same time he's also chayv mamon, so he's pater from the mamon, he's not going to have to pay the mamon because the misa is going to overshadow the mamon. Okay, now just as a technical point, this is not our time to talk about kimlei with any kind of specifics when we get to the third parak of Ksuvos. So that third parak is heavy on the topic of kimlei. But meanwhile, the basic idea, however, is that you are still chai b'dei shamayim. In other words, you still have a monetary obligation. It's just that you can't be taken to court for that monetary obligation. Okay. So, but the basic idea, however, is that the chomer is going to override the kal. So if it's misas, if one onish is misas b'dei adam, and the other onus is mammon, so you can't be taken to court for mammon. Good. What the Gemara now is pointing out is that what our Mishnah says that Yom Kippur and Shabbos are the same, so here's what we're also learning, that just as Shabbos provides a kimle for the chi of tashlamim, and it's going to be a patur of tashlamim, the same thing is going to be true regarding Yom Kippur. Meaning if the person violates Yom Kippur and is chayv mammon simultaneously, so now Yom Kippur is also going to create a patur as well. Now that's interesting, really interesting, because Yom Kippur, it's not an onish bidei adam, there's no corporal punishment, the onish comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you could have made the argument that not only could you, but the Chachamim do make the argument that there's no patur, there's no kimle by Yom Kippur. Karis is between you and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kimle just simply means that Beis Din can't give two onshim. But over here, Yom Kippur, Karis, so you can do that. Okay, so that's the conventional approach, the normative approach. It happens to be that there's a Tana, Rav Nechunya ben Akana, which we just got introduced to here in our Gemara, who disagrees. And he's of the position that kimle applies not only to Mises Bidei Adam, but kimle also applies to Karis as well. Which now means that according to Reb Nechunya ben Akana, the Chi of Karis is going to patur you from Mammon. And our Mishnah subscribes to that viewpoint. Again, how do we see that? Because our Mishnah is highlighting the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, notably the Onesh, but in terms of the Ptur Teshlamim, Lechor, they're the same. So that means that our Mishnah is holding like Reb Nechunya ben Akana. Okay. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara says, okay, let's take a look at a Mishnah together, Kolchai V'Krisos, Shalaka Niftaru Midei Krisosam. The Mishnah Makos tells us that if I have a Chi of Krisos and you get Makos, so the Makos is going to pat you from Karis. Okay? Makos will take the place of Karis. So by you getting Makos, you're not going to get Karis. Shenemar, and the Gemara has a drash of Nikla Achicha Leinecha, Kevin Shalaka Hareka Achicha, Divrei Rav Chananya Ben Gamliel. Okay, so Rav Chanan ben Gamliel is of the position that Malchus is going to go ahead and remove the kares. Now,
this is
a different discussion. In other words, in a moment, the Gemara is going to see whether or not it can fit into our Mishnah. But this is a different discussion. This discussion over here is whether or not kares can be expunged. It's a different issue. And so, according to Rav Chanan ben Gamliel, if you get Malchus, in other words, for a Chi of Karis, it means you violate a law in the Torah. So according to Rav Chanan ben Gamliel, if in fact you get the Malchus, then it will expunge the Karis. It's not one punishment is going to be pattering a different punishment. It's just a question of whether or not Karis can be removed. Good. So I'm Rav Yochanan Chalukin Lav Chaver of Rav Chanan ben Gamliel. Now the Gemara points out that Rav Chanan ben Gamliel is a position, but argued upon. And the Chachamim argue on the Shita of Rav Chanan ben Gamliel. So Amar Rav, Amri Bei Rav, Amar Bei Rav, Tanina. So now we know that it's a machlokus between Tanaim. Chanan ben Gamliel says that Malchus will relieve you, will expunge the Kares, and the Chachamim disagree. Meaning, even if you get Malchus, okay, Kares is still on the ledger. Now on that machlokus, the Gemara points out. Let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Because what our Mishnah teach us? Ain ben Yom Kippur on the Shabbos, El Shazah Zdono Bidei Adam, Vizeh Zdono Bihi Kares. So our Mishnah told us that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the punishment. One is going to be Mises Bidei Adam, capital punishment, Shabbos, and the other one's going to be Kares. Now, V'im Isa, Ida V'idi Bidei Adam Hi. So the Gemara now points out, now if Rav Chananya ben Gamliel was in fact correct, so now what should that mean? That means that they're both really corporal punishments. Because what comes out now for Yom Kippur, or for that matter any Chi of Kares, is that the Kares can be viewed as really as just Malchus. Since Malchus is going to expunge the Kares, so really the truth of the matter is that even Kares to a degree can be viewed as a chiyuv bidei adam. Oh, okay. So by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah does not make that distinction, it sounds like our Mishnah is not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. So I'm Rav Nachman Hamani, Rabbi Yitzchaki. So the Gemara says no. In other words, from our Mishnah, it will not prove one way or another. You can't use our Mishnah to go ahead and litigate whether we subscribe to Rav Chananya ben Gamliel or whether we don't. And the Gemara gives a couple of approaches. Number one, so Rav Nachman says, "How many Rav Yitzchak Hid Amar Malchus Bechavi Krisus Leika?" Detanya will not in a brace, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chai Vikrisus Bechla, Hayuva Lamayatos, Karis Bachoso, La Dona Bekaris, Veloba Malkus. Okay, so there's a Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. When we did the third parak of Malkus, we saw it together, and that is that for all the Yisuri Karis, there's just simply no Malkus. That's it, period. So that means to say that for Shita's Rabbi Yitzchak, so the Malkus can't expunge the Karis because there is no Malkus. Okay. So, and if our Mishnah, in fact, is holding the Rav Yitzchak, so then our Mishnah no longer serves as any kind of referendum on whether or not Malkus can go ahead and wipe out the Karis, because there simply is no Malkus to even talk about. That's one possibility. Another possibility, Rav Ashi Amar, Afilo Temer Rabbanan. Zeikar Zdona Bide Adam, Zeikar Zdona Bide Karis. And Rav Ashi says, and also, here's what we could do. You don't have to say anything fancy like our Mishnah is going like Rav Yitzchak. It's not necessary. When you look at a Mishnah like our Mishnah of Ein Bein, right? Here's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah over here is not giving us the total picture of all the differences that exist between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. What our Mishnah is really doing is looking at the principal characteristic of Shabbos, the principal characteristic of Yom Kippur. Principally, Shabbos, if violated intentionally, is a capital crime. Principally, Yom Kippur, if violated intentionally, is a Karis crime. That's all the Mishnah means. Yes, it may be true that if you get Malkus, it's going to go ahead and expunge the Krisus. That may be true, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. That's not the goal of the Mishnah. The goal of the Mishnah is to give us what is the fundamental characteristics of each of the Onshim. That's all. And so therefore, you don't have to use our Mishnah. You can't use our Mishnah to either prove or disprove the Shita of Hananya ben Gamliel. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of our first two examples of the Mishnahs of Ein Bein. And we continue. We're in the very top now of Chesam and Aleph. And continuing along a pathway of Ein Bein. The next Mishnah. Ein Bein Amudar Hana Mechaver Lemudar Mimenu Machal. So our Mishnah says like this. Let's say that I've decided that I just do not want any benefit from a particular person. And probably the motivation is animosity. Whatever the motivation may be, right now we're just dealing with the halacha and the drama. So I'll leave you for you to try to imagine what's the drama behind it. But the halacha is that if I make a neder against an individual, then I'm not getting any hana from him. So there are a couple ways in which I can articulate that. I could just simply say that I'm going to be mudar hana. I'm not going to get any benefit from him whatsoever. I could say it that way. Or another way I could say it is I'm going to be mudar maichal. Now, mudar maichal means that I'm not eating by him. In other words, there is simply no way that I'm eating at his house again, and I'm prohibiting myself from doing so with the force of a neder. Okay. So now, in either way, in other words, whether I'm Mudar Hana or Mudar Michael, so here's what I know I can't do. I can't go over there and I can't eat. That part's clear. How about just taking some money from him? Well, no, that's also, either way that I say it, it's still going to be problematic, because if I take money from him, so then of course what I could do is I could just take the money and buy myself lunch. And so that's also going to be prohibited as well. So what difference is there going to be in which way I articulated it? So the Mishnah says the difference is going to be Drisus Regal, Kalim Sheinos and Behem Ochel Nefesh. So let's say I use his property as a shortcut. So that's a benefit. So if I'm Mudar Hana'a, then I'm not allowed to do that. But if I'm Mudar Michael, so then I am allowed to do that. Because using his property as a shortcut, although it's certainly going to be a benefit for me, but that benefit can't translate into food. Okay. Similarly, alternatively, Kalim Shenos and Behem Ochel Nefesh. Let's say I borrow something from him which can't be turned into food. So if I borrow something from him that can't be turned into food. So if I'm Mudar Hana'a, so that borrowing is going to be out of the question, because then I'm getting benefit from him. But if my neder only came in the context of food, I'm not going to be eating by him, but I'm borrowing something from him that can't be turned into food, so then that would be fine. That would be acceptable because the neder didn't cover borrowing things from him that have nothing to do with food. However, if let's say I borrow a pot, that's considered now a violation of Michael, because then the pot is going to allow me to cook food. And to a degree, he's going to be feeding me. I understand not exactly, but that's the basic idea behind the Mishnah. Rashi right here in the Mishnah, and Tosfos as well, notes the following. Let's say I borrow something from him that would have cost me money to rent. Let's say, right, I borrow his lawnmower. Now, lawnmower has nothing to do with food, but had he not lent me the lawnmower, so then I would have had to rent it out. So Rashi says, under those circumstances, even if I'm Mud or Michael, I'm not allowed to do that. Why? Because now that I borrowed his lawnmower, because he was so nice to lend me his lawnmower, so now I don't have to rent it out. So as the expression goes, a penny saved, it's a penny earned. So by virtue of the fact now that I didn't have to spend that money, that's tantamount, Rashi writes, it's tantamount to me having actually received money from him, and that money obviously could be translated and turned into food, into a meal, and that would be prohibited. So when the Mishnah says that I could borrow non-food items from him, we have to throw in another qualifier, says Rashi. Not only is it a non-food item, but it's also something that I wouldn't have had to rent it out had he not lent it to me. That's Rashi, and Tosfos right here in our Gemara. Good. We start with the Gemara's discussion. Okay, the obvious deek in the Mishnah, right, this one's pretty straightforward. And that is that if it's a food-related item that he lent me a pot, he lent me a spoon, something that will facilitate and allow me to eat, so then that is going to be usur, regardless of whether you're a muda hana or you're muda maicha. Drisus arego, halo kapte inchi. So the Gemara says now, drisus arego. So the Gemara says, drisus arego, so that's something that people usually are not bothered by. If I walk through somebody's backyard, now again, some people are bothered by it, and that person will put a fence around his property. But if a person doesn't put a fence around his property, so it's generally something that, it's something that a person's not makbid. So, Amarava Hamani Rabbi Elazarhi. So, therefore what? What bothers the Gemara right now is that if you're Mudar Maichal, so that's fine. So then you can walk through the person's property. But if you're Mudar Hana'a, said our Mishnah, so then I can't walk through the person's property. What bothers the Gemara now is that walking through somebody's property, again, we're talking about where there's no fence and I'm not trespassing. And now what? So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that that should be something that there's no hekbet on it whatsoever. People aren't makbet about that, and therefore I'm not violating my neder, even if the neder came with hana. Right? I said it b'derech hana. What difference does it make that if I walk through his property? In other words, I'm not violating the neder. So the Gemara says no. Hamani Rabbi Elazar damar viter aser. So the Gemara says, yeah, Shitas Rabbi Elazar is that even if it's something that people are mevater, meaning this person over here is not bothered at all with people walking through his property. So that may be true. Rabbi Elazar is of the Shita, you still can't walk through his property. Why? Because even though it doesn't bother him, but is it a benefit to you? 100%. It saved me time on my walks. It saved me effort. For sure it's a benefit to me. So Shitas Rabbi Elazar is that included in a neder hana'a, is that even though it didn't cost him anything, it's almost like, you know, zelo chaser. So, but it's a hana'a to me, that's also going to be included in the neder as well. Okay? That's Shita's Rabbi Lazar, and Amish are subscribing to that Shita, which, by the way, then must of course mean that there's a Shita that disagrees with that. And then there's a good discussion to be had in terms of explaining both of the Shitas. Okay, but we're going to continue. We still have a daf to go. Ein bein, nedarim l'nedavas, el shenedarim chayv b'achriyusam, v'nedavas enu chayv b'achriyusam. So we discuss this all the time, and here's a Mishnah that just gives us a fundamental distinction between a person making a neder that he's going to bring a karban versus making a nedava that he's going to be bringing a karban. In both of those, he's making a commitment, a pledge. But there's a fundamental difference between neder and nedava. If a person makes a neder that he's going to bring a karban, so that means that he has personal liability, that if anything happens to the animal, he still is going to be on the hook. There's going to be recourse, and he's still going to have to bring the karban. Just simply, he's going to have to dip into his own pocket in order to get more money in order to get the karban. On the other hand, if a person was made a nedava, and he pointed to an animal and he said, "Zeh, this animal is going to be brought as a karban." So under those circumstances, so if anything happens to the animal, there is no personal liability. And the Gemara quotes, "Halinya baltaachar zevazeshavin." So again, it's the same formula every time. So now we know the distinction. We also know the similarity. And that is that they are both subscribing to the Isra baltaachar. In Rosh Hashanah, we spent a good amount of time discussing the Isser Bal Ta'acher. Once you make a pledge, you must fulfill your pledge by a certain point in time. If I remember correctly, there are, I hope I'm saying it correctly, five shitas in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in terms of when exactly one is going to be in violation of Bal Ta'acher. Okay. Now is not a great time to go over all five shitas, but if it wasn't that long ago that we did it. Hopefully my memory serves. Anyway, five different shitas. But anyway, for Neder Nedava, there's the Yisr Bal Ta'acher. We could say it nice and simple. Tanan Hausam, we're learning now the first Mishnah in Kinnim. So, Ezu Neder Amar Hare Alai Ola. Ezu Nedava Hamar Hare Zu Ola. Okay, so very simple. Mishnah in Kinnim talks about the difference between Neder Nedava, the formulation. You say Alai, it's on me, that's a Neder. Versus Harezu, this animal, that's Nedava. Ma be Nedar and Nedavas, Nedar meso o nignavo avdo chai bachriyusam. Nedavas meso nignavo o avdo enu chai bachriyusam. And the Mishnah in Kinnim just simply spells out what we already said here in the Mishnah Megillah. It's just another way to present the same information. And that is, Neder, there's going to be personal liability. Even if it was something, that's not your fault. The animal was stolen. Doesn't matter. By Neder, you're on the hook. By Nedava, you're off the hook. And the Gemara now cites a pasuk in the drasha. The pasuk says, "V'nirtza lo lechaper alav." Rabbi Shimon Amer, "Etch alav chay bachriyuso." Ve'etcho enu alav enu chay bachriyuso. So the focus over here is on the word alav. It's on me. Once it's on me, so that means I have personal liability. My mashma Rabbi Yisrael Baravdim, Kevin Damer alai, Keman detayna katfei dame. When you say the word alai, it means it's like a person saying, put it on my shoulders, meaning I'm ready to accept the burden and the responsibility of bringing this animal as a carbon. And if this animal's not, for whatever reason, unavailable, it's alai, it's still going to be on me. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, let's get a crash course together on a zav. A zav is a discharge that a man has. There is a tumazav, there's a tumazava. A little bit we need to know the halachas of tumas ziva for when it comes to a woman, but for right now, just in terms of a crash course, we're just going to be focusing on the man. A man has a discharge. Now, a man could have a seminal discharge. A man could also have what is called a zav discharge. Now, a zav discharge actually has slightly different physical properties. The Mishnayos in zav and goes through them, and in a couple of gemaras we go through them. We don't have to go through them right now. Suffice right now to say that if a man has a zav discharge, so now he's a zav, which means now that he's an avatama, and he's now going to require to be matar himself. Now, when it comes to a man and a man having a zav discharge, so there's a difference whether he has one discharge, two discharges, or three discharges. Now, when it comes to a woman, so it is also significant in terms of how many discharges she has. When it comes to a woman, a discharge, a zava discharge for a woman is also going to be connected to days, meaning for a woman to have two discharges, it has to be in two separate days, consecutive but separate. For a woman to have three discharges, it has to be on three separate days, albeit consecutive, but three separate days. When it comes to a man, however, so that's not true. When it comes to a man, if a man has a single discharge, so he's a zav bal ria achas. When he has a second discharge, even on the same day, he's now a zav bal shtei ri'os. And if he has a third zav discharge even on the same day, so now he's a zav bal shalosh ri'os. Now halachically, there are going to be differences whether or not he had a second discharge or a third discharge. What are the differences? That's our Mishnah over here, giving us the basic halachic differences between a zav bal shtei ri'os and a zav bal shalosh ri'os. The only difference of the Mishnah is only carbon, meaning that when a man has two consecutive zav discharges, either on the same day or even separated by a day. Just to highlight and emphasize, if let's say a man had a zav discharge, then he had a full day in which he was not discharging, and then he had another discharge, those two do not combine. So in other words, they combine if done either in the same day or in two consecutive days. Regardless, the point over here is that if he has two discharges, so now he is let's call him a major zav. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. So then what's the difference between having two versus three? So that's basically the Mishnah's question. The Mishnah says the difference is going to be carbon. What does that mean? So we're just going to jump right to the Gemara. Gemara spells it out. So that means that in all other areas of Tumat Tahara, they're going to be the same. Meaning, let's start off with the halacha Mishkav Moshe. So we know that when it comes to a Zavah, and a Zavah for that matter, and an Ida, and a Yoledes, so they sit on an item. So two things to highlight about the transmission of Tumah. One is that the item is going to have the same status of Tumah as the individual. The individual is an Avatama. The chair they sit on is also going to be an Avatama. Most of the time when you have transmissions of Tumah, it drops down a level. So here, when transmission of Tumas, Mishkav Moshav, when they sit on an item or lie down on an item, that, by the way, important, that was meant to either sit or lie down on, so then the transmission is going to be, it's going to be the same degree of Tumah. That's one point to highlight. A second point to highlight is that there doesn't have to actually be physical contact. Meaning, as Rashi points out, let's say you have mattresses, one on top of another, and he's lying down on the top mattress, but all of them now are obviously supporting his weight. They're all going to become tame, and they're all going to be considered a Mishkav Hazav. Okay, so those are two halachas. That would be true by a Zav Baal Shtei Rios. It would also be true by a Zav Baal Shalosh Rios. Additionally, says the Gemara, in terms of how to be Metahir, both of them need Shiva Nikiyim. They have to count 7 clean days. Okay, normally we assume, we associate that with a woman, but it's no different. In other words, a man also needs Shiva Nikiyim in order to be Metahir from his Ziva. Now, if it's a Zav Baal Riachas, if he only had one discharge, so then he doesn't need Shiva Nikiyim. But if he has two or three, he needs Shiva Nikiyim. Here, by the way, is where we're going to mark the difference between a man and a woman. When it comes to a woman who has a Zava discharge, her requirement of requiring Shiva Nikiyim is only when she has three discharges, not two. So this is a simple, basic difference between a man and a woman. A man is going to require Shiva Nikiyim even after having only two discharges. Minan Emili, the Gemara now is going to be citing the drushas that get us to all these conclusions. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a brace. Rabbi Simai, Omer, Mana, Kasav, Shtayim, Vikarotame, Shalosh, Vikarotame. So there are two psukim to look at. See the Rashi's here. Rashi cites the psukim. I'm not gonna quote the Rashi inside. Anyway, there are two separate psukim that talk about zav of a man. In one of the psukim, it mentions the word zav two times. Another psukim mentions it three times. So haketa shayim l'tumah v'shalosh l'karban. So that means to say that there's going to be a difference. What's the difference? So for the pasuk that mentions it two times, he's a zav. Zav gamor. Again, mishkav v'moshav. Sphere Shivas Yamim. So then what is the third discharge introduced? The requirement that he has to bring a carbon. Notably, that means that after having counted Shiva Nikiyim and after having toveled in the mikvah, he still is what's called a mechusar kapara. That means that on the next day he'll go to the base of Mikdash, assuming that he's there, and he'll bring carbonus to provide a full kapara for him, which means that he can't go into the base of Mikdash nor eat carbonus until he brings the carbonus, until he brings his carbonus. Good. So that's the difference between two and three. The Amer Shayim Latoma Velo LeKarban Shalosh LeKarban Velo LeToma. The Gemara now would like to know. Maybe we can give alternative suggestions. All these alternative suggestions are going to be rejected. But the Gemara, you know, this is classic Gemara where basically let's see if there's another way we could have looked at it. Maybe for two discharges he's going to bring a Karban, and for the third discharge he'll be Tame. The Gemara says that's totally illogical. So Amart Ashala Ra Shalosh Ra Shtayim. Because everyone here knows how counting works. Meaning first you count two, then you get to three. So and what you're gonna suggest? That he's gonna only be tamei by the third, and meanwhile he brings a carbon by the second? Gemara says it seems to be untenable. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Vayim Hashem LeKarban V'lo LeToma Shalosh Af LeToma. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Why don't we suggest the following? That for two discharges he has to bring a carbon. And here's what we're suggesting. And he's not tamei at all. And then for the third discharge, he's going to be tamei. Okay. Even as a suggestion, by the way, it's really difficult to wrap our heads around. Or I'll speak for myself. It's difficult for me to wrap my head around this idea that he's bringing a carbon. Normally you're bringing a carbon because you were tamei. And in the suggestion, it's the havamina. So, but in the suggestion, what we're saying is that for the second discharge, the Torah requires a carbon. And then for the third discharge, now he's tummy. It's difficult. But the Gemara is suggesting it. The Gemara says, lo sekadacha. Okay. But it's a havamin, and the Gemara immediately rejects it. The time will enter the price of a chiper, a lava kohen, lifnei Hashem, mizovo. So you're providing a kapara mizovo, meaning who brings a carbon? Some of the zavim bring a carbon. Mix of zavim, mevi and carbon. A mix of zavim, mevi and carbon. Ha ketzad, rosh, shalosh, mevi, shtayim, ein, mevi. Meaning that some zavim do, some zavim don't. Well, which Zav does? Someone who saw three. Which Zav does not? Someone who saw two. So, Oeinu Ela Ra, Beis Mevi, Ra, Shal, Shena Mevi. And again, in the Brisa here now entertains what we just entertained moments earlier. So the Gemara says, no, Amart Achela Ra, Shal, Shra, Shtayim. So the Gemara says, no, because again, that's not how counting works. Meaning, before you get to three, you obviously got to two. So, the Itzrich, the Rebbe Simai, the Itzrich, Mizovo. So basically, here's now what we have just learned together. That a Zav Baal Shtei Re'iyos, so he does not need to bring a carbon. He's a Zav Gamor. He's a definitive Zav. With, again, the stringencies of Mishka V'Moshav and the stringencies of Zayin Nekiyim. But then what happens is that when with his third discharge, so a new feature is going to be added to that, and that is that same as above, Mishka V'Moshav, Zayin Nekiyim, but what's added to him is that now he's going to have to bring a karban at the conclusion of his Tahara. We have arrived at this conclusion in now one of two ways. One, from the drash of Mizovo that we just saw in the Braisa. And two, from the Rabbi Simai observation, that one pasuk has the word Zav mentioned twice, and another pasuk has it mentioned three times. So we have now two sources to get to the same point, so that seems to be unnecessary. So the Gemara says, it's not unnecessary. V'itzterech. Mizavo di'im id Rabbi Simai hava aminiki kushyan, because if all I had was Rabbi Simai, so then I don't know, the Gemara says, maybe we would have thought what we thought moments earlier, which is two for the karban, three for the tuma. So that's what the Mizavo is coming to tell me, that that's an untenable suggestion. And e Mizavo lo yadana kamarias kamashmalan de Rabbi Simai. And now if all I had was Mizavo, so then yeah, I would have known some Zavim bring a carbon, some Zavim don't. But where's the number? What's the significant number? Only from Rabbi Simai and the Psukim do we know what the number is. 2 versus 3. Okay, so the Gemara says so, therefore they're both necessary. So the Gemara says, okay. So now I get it. So we have just learned a play in the playbook, which is that when you see the word mizavo, so you know now that it is open for a drasha. So the Gemara says, great. So what I'd like to now know is that we have another pasuk also using the word mizavo, v'chi yitar hazav mizavo. The zav becomes tar from his ziva. But the word mizavo, so what do we have to darshan from that? So the Gemara says, oh, okay, good. So now that you know the play, so I'll teach you how this plays out. And the Gemara now is going to be quoting three drashas. As a general rule, it's only one drasha per pasuk. How the Gemara arrives at three drashas from this pasuk, I'm sure it's discussed. Anyway, but the Gemara has three drashas. Number one, hahumi bai lelechid detanya v'chiyitar azav lechishe yivzok. Okay, so halacha number one, and that is when can you start counting a shiv nekiyim? Immediately. Meaning, when the man stops having the discharge, so now he could start counting immediately. Now, by immediately, it means the next day, it counts as day one towards shiv nekiyim, but what it also means, this is Rashi over here, what it also means is he doesn't have to tov on the mikvah, meaning he could just simply, as long as he starts a clean day, that counts towards the Shiv Nekiyim. So that's halacha number one. Lechishe yivzok. Halacha number two. Mizavo v'nigao. Let's say this person has unbelievable mazel. And I don't mean that in the positive way. Not only is he a balzav, on top of that also he's a mitzorah. Okay. It's just not a good day for him. And so now what he would like to do is that, let's say the ziva stopped, and now he would like to start becoming tahor from his ziva. However, it happens to be that his sara'as is still present. And so now, should he or does he need to wait until he's clear from the sara'as? And so now he can attend to his ziva tahara process. Here's what we're learning. Mizovo is coming to teach me unnecessary. Meaning what he can do now is that as long as he stopped discharging, so he could start counting Shiv Nekiyim. He's a Mitzora, which means that he's Tuma. Yeah, but that's a separate Tuma. And so the halacha does not require that he needs to be totally symptom-free from all of his Tumas in order to tend to the Tahara process of one of his Tumas. So tahara just simply means he tovels in the mikvah.
I know, but if
let's assume that there's a. Okay, that's an assumption you're making. I don't know if that's correct. In other words, maybe there is a mikveh over there. So mizavav v'lo mizavav v'nigo. So that's halacha number two. And finally, halacha number three. So mizavav v'siper limud azav al shevri yoshiton sfira shiva. So and the third drasha is that the mizavav is coming to tell me that when you have a zav discharge, some of them are going to need to count 7 days. Now I know we already established that, but now we're learning it from the drasha. So the Gemara says, "Valo denu." Now the Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second. I need a drasha for that point." So im mitame mishka v'moshe lo yehi taun sfiras shiva. Simple question. I say simple question, as all of this is obvious information. I know we're learning an area that we don't normally learn, but it. Once you know the information, it's a pretty straightforward question. So the Gemara says, "Imatam mishka v'moshe v'leitain sfera shiva." Look, I know that he is a zav gamor. Consider that if he sits on something, the item becomes tame to the same degree that he is. He's a zav gamor. So if he's a zav gamor, don't you think that he's going to need to count shiva nikiyim? Right? Isn't one halacha extend from the other? To which the Gemara says, "No, not necessarily." As we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Shomer yom keneged yom tochiach. That's just simply not true. Meaning we consider the fact that we have what's called a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, a woman. So now we are going to just get another quick crash course in Zav as it relates to women. So women who have a discharge. Now for them, the discharge for a woman is really, even though the word is the same word, right? For a man it's a Zav, for a woman it's a Zava, but there are a lot of differences. But right now we're just highlighting the difference of number of discharges. If a woman has one discharge, she's a Zava. If a woman has two discharges, she's also a Zava, but only on the third discharge is what she's called, what's called a Zava Gedola. At which point in time, she's going to have to require Shiva Nikiyim and Tefillah in the Mikvah, et cetera, et cetera. And Karbanos at the end, but that's only with three discharges. And also by a woman, parenthetically, it's only three discharges if it's on three separate but consecutive days. Meaning that if a woman has three discharges on one day, that doesn't count as three, it only counts as one. So for a woman, the number of discharges are only going to be divided by days. Okay, anyway. But the point over here is as follows. A woman who has a single discharge or even two discharges, so she is metame mishka v'moshav. And she doesn't need to count shiva nikiyim. So now what we just did is that we just saw that these two halachas are not necessarily connected one to the other. A person could be metame mishka v'moshav, notably a woman bal shtei riyos, and she doesn't have to count shiva nikiyim. So the Gemara says, good. So we just proved the point. So shomer yom keneged yom tochiach shemetame mishka v'moshav ve'ena tuma sfir shiva ve'afatal tit malzeh she'afapi shemetame mishka v'moshav lo yeitan sfir shiva. Good. So now we could now that we've uncoupled these two halachas, so now I go back to the man. And we could have easily argued that when the man is a Baal Shtei Riyos, so he doesn't need to count Shiva Nikiyim. That's what we could have argued. Now I need the drasha. So now Tam Lamar Mizava Visiper mixes of a Visiper Limit Alzav Baal Shtei Riyos Shaton Sphere Shiva. Okay. So that's where the drasha comes to teach me. Good. So what we just went through is it's a bit of a tangent, but what we just went through is that once we learned the word Mizavo is darshanable. Okay. Sorry about my made-up words. So now we just simply applied it to another drasha as well. And in fact, we just learned together three drushas that will come from the word mizavo. Amalei Rav Papa Labai, the Gemara just simply has one follow-up question to this discussion. Notably, Maishna ha mizavo de marbi bei zav bal shtei ri'iyos. U maishna ha mizavo de memayid bei zav bal shtei ri'iyos. So if you notice carefully, in other words, in one drasha we included, in another drasha we excluded. Right? What did we just do? In the first drasha, we said that a zav bal shtei riyos is excluded from karban. So the direction we went was exclusion. And meanwhile, what we just learned together is that a zav bal shtei riyos is included for counting shiva nikiyim. So I get it. Mizavo is darshanable, but which direction do you darshan? Do you darshan it as an inclusion or as an exclusion? Okay, so Amar Leh, so and what bothers Rav Papa is that let's be consistent. Meaning I'm okay going in either direction, but why don't we go in the same direction? Okay, good. So that's a wrap up question. Abai gives an answer. So Amalei Isa Gadach Ahava Ha'ilam Ute Huda Asa. So the Gemara says, well, if the drasha, the first drasha, the one for carbon, if it was there for the purposes of exclusion, so then Lishta Kramine. So here's what the Torah would have done, and that is not use the word mizovo as well. V'chitem Asya Medina. And the Gemara says, and now what? And now, I'm sorry, not the carbon drasha, sorry, the Shivnikiyam drasha. So if the Torah wanted to exclude, so the Torah would have said nothing. And the Gemara says now, V'chitem Asya Medina. And the Gemara says, and now, why wouldn't we have generated the halacha based on a limud, right? I was going to say kavachomer. It's not really kavachomer. Anyway, why don't we learn from the limud? The Gemara says shomer yom kenegi yom tochiach. Because as we already pointed out, because we uncoupled the two halachas, just because you are mitame mishkav v'moshav does not necessarily mean that you are also going to be counting shem nekiyam, and we know that by the zava. So the Gemara says v'chite mahami bailei mizava v'lo minigo. So the Gemara says yeah, but didn't we need it from the don't we need the drasha from mizavo v'lo minigo? Basically, what the question that I alluded to a little bit earlier? How are we making multiple drashas? So the Gemara says, "Imkein lichtov kra v'chiyeter hazav v'lishtok." So the Gemara says, "No, because if all the pasuk wanted to teach me was that you could start counting your shiv nikiyim immediately after you stop discharging, so then the pasuk could have said v'chiyeter hazav, and that's it. So mizav alamali liman hazav b'ashevi yishetan sfir shiva. Okay." So the mizovo is coming to teach me that if you're a Baal Shtei Riyos, so you need you need Shiv Nikim. Okay, Adkan. All right, one more for this morning. I'll tell you what. No, let's stop over here. Let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll do Mitzara. Okay, as you can see, this will be and this is going to last for a couple more days here in the Daf. We're going to be doing the Ein Bains. Right, to tough tests, basically through and including Daf Yud as well. Okay, and then we start darshaning on Daf Yud. Okay, so a quick recap of today's Daf. Tangent. Okay, tangent. But the point is that once we did a Mishnah of Ein Bein Adar Aleph LaAdar Beis, so then the Mishnah has to go through a number of other Ein Beins topics that we covered over the course of this morning. One. The only difference that exists between Shabbos and Yom Tov is only the heter of Ochel Nefesh. Where they seem to be on equal footing is Machshir Ochel Nefesh, and that means that our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda. That was number one. Number two, the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is only going to be the punishment. For Shabbos, the onish is Skila. For Yom Kippur, the onish is going to be Karis, but for all other areas, they're going to be the same. What does that mean? It means that our Mishnah is going like Rav Nechunya ben Akana. That means that we say Kimle b'derabi mine. Not only by Chiv Skila, but we also say it by Nisar Karis as well. Again, it's interesting because Rav Nechunya ben Akana is really a Das Yachin on this issue, but our Mishnah is subscribing to that viewpoint. That was number two. Number three, we're already on now in the top of Ches in terms of review. When a person's Mudar Hana, the difference between saying Mudar Hana versus Mudar Maichel, so the difference is going to be using his property as a cut-through and borrowing Kalim from him. Okay? And what does that mean? It means that any kli that's for ochel nefesh is going to be aser because that's going to facilitate food. Okay, and it doesn't matter whether I said moderna or moder meichel. Also, what it means, says the Gemara, is that if I'm moder hana, so I can't use his property as a cut through. He doesn't care. So the Gemara says, okay, he doesn't care, but I'm still getting hana. And our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe Lazar that even though people are mevater, it's still incorporated in the Isser Hana. The next mission we did, the fundamental difference between Nadar versus Nadava. Nadar, there's a Chayv Achrayus, you have liability. Nadava, there's no Achrayus. Next mission we did is Zav Baal Shtei Rios and Zav Baal Shalosh Rios. The only difference between them is the carbon. Zav Baal Gimel Rios has to bring a carbon. Zav Baal Shtei Rios does not need to bring a carbon. And then, where are they on the same footing with each other? On the degree of Tuma, they're both Metam and Mishka Vamoshav, and the duration of days in order to be Metire, notably 7 days. Adkan.